Blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this Sabbath. Thank you for keeping us safe throughout the week and blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and do that which you have prophesied we will do. Thank you for blessing the workers and all those that they come into contact with. Thank you for the hedge of angels you have around them and all of us. And we especially pray for those on our prayer list that are lost and are in need of salvation. Thank you for being with us as we gather now for worship and for study. And please bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that you alone are being glorified. And we offer this prayer, Father, to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay. For some reason, when I put the study in the iframes underneath the chat room, like if you scroll down or you click that link that says Sabbath Day Study Notes, it says to scroll down to the highlighted area, and for some reason, oh, now it's working. It wasn't working before. Yeah, just scroll to question number 6. Okay, that's good. All right, so, and question number 6 is, where must judgment begin? And the answer is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, which says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Okay, oops, I got caps on. All right. Thank you, Fran. All right. And then the study also shares, of course, it's got a couple of verses underneath it. 3:15, that says, "The house of God, which is the church of the living God." And then 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18, which says, "And if at first..." No, wait. I don't know. What's it doing here? Okay, yeah, it leaves off the first part of verse 17. That's what mixed me up there. Anyway, it says, "And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" And then Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You know, what so many Christians fail to realize today is that they have a responsibility to keep the promise that they made to the Lord when they accepted him as Lord and Savior. We were kind of like talking about this last night with the in the study about how we are examples to. I mean, most people, and yes, even the scoffer and many atheists do believe that there is punishment for those that do not walk as they should. And no, I'm not saying we are saved by our works, as the popes of Rome assume. I'm relating the obvious mindset of the weak, need Christians and the scoffers and atheists who can lie all they like about not believing prophecy or even admitting there is a God. I mean, decades of experience has taught me that they take their bold, heretical stand in the hopes one Christian will finally come to them with the truth easily explained so that they too can understand it. In fact, we recently saw this to be the case with two atheists who have joined our number, and many scoffers over the years as well. And no, it's nothing I nor any of you have done that caused them to embrace the truth we proclaim. It's just that with the obedient heart striving after perfection comes the natural desire to share what we have seen and heard. And in so doing, it cuts hearts that were hardened by all the false and weak-kneed Christians out there that don't know the difference between the truth of God and the doctrines of demons. And this is why the atheists have joined our number. You know because... Or even like that that Mother Superior, a nun, not just a nun, but the head of all the nuns left the church because not because of anything we say or do. It's because we shared with her the scriptures the way they are supposed to be shared, not the way the world does it, because the world likes to take a lot of verses out of context, and they have a cookie-cutter religion or churchianity, because they figure they all have to be. And this is where you could see Roman Catholic infiltration in all the churches, including the SDA church, because it's just like with McDonald's. You go to McDonald's in Kentucky, you're going to have the exact same menu in California if you go to McDonald's. And the same thing, like if you go to McDonald's in Japan, sure, it's going to be in different language, but it's going to have the same menu. Well, they'll add a few local things, of course, like they usually do. But the thing is, they try to be, you know, they only change little things for ethnic reasons about, you know, the people in the area. Well, you could see that with Catholicism. I mean, they got that down to a science because the Catholic Church planted their, what they call churches, but they're all they are is membership halls in all the countries of the world, and they've been able to fashion them after everybody's, you know, weird rituals. And this is why all the denominations, all the Protestant denominations, just like the prophecy said, have joined with Rome, have shown signs of joining with Rome, because not only were they infiltrated by either Jesuits or just Roman Catholics themselves to cause them to bend towards this, you know, the false theology of Rome, but they have just been demon inspired. I mean, because it's obvious. We could see this clearly now, because all the churches teach eternal life and hellfire. They all teach when you die, you go to either heaven or hell instantly at death, or they teach a 7-year tribulation period. Well, some of them will go so far as to say, no, there isn't one, but they'll still do the Sunday Sabbath, Christmas, Easter, Halloween. I mean, they do everything all the other churches do. They even put the wedding rings on when they have a wedding in their churches and stuff like that, and they have the same rituals that they do at a graveside for a funeral and stuff. And so they're trying to get like the cookie cutter religion out there. And the atheists, I mean, this has been going on for decades. And this is why when people that are scoffers, simply because of what they see in all the churches, they say, okay, you're a different denomination, but why do you call yourself Lutheran if you're doing the same thing the Catholics are doing? Or why do you call yourself Baptist if you're doing the same thing that the Lutherans are doing? I mean, they think it's all hypocrisy. And then they step in here, or they go to our websites, and they see a difference. They see truth, just like the prophecy said. The people are going to start to see the differences between the truth and what's being said out there. You know, when our Lord looks upon us as we strive and we do this work, he sees his son's bride not only seeking to make him smile, he sees them trimming their lamps and trying their best to get other people around them to see the truth as they see it. You know, because you can't, I mean, we know the theology behind the symbol of the lamp. You know, it's a lamp. You don't hide it under a bushel. So if they're trimming their lamps, guess what? People around them are seeing the light too. So it's not like you can trim a lamp and put it under a lead box. What good is it then? You don't call it a lamp. So judgment in this case is an easy task because, I mean, he knows our hearts. And deep crieth unto deep by our daily walk. And so the Lord knows who his people are. You know, sadly, the opposite is true for those that claim Christ Lord but never allow him to lord over them. You know, as the prophet Isaiah stated so long ago, they all claim to be Christians, but they refuse to believe the word as it is written. In fact, they are perfectly happy to use a Bible that has been proven by millions, if not billions, to have thousands of verses missing. And they just think it's okay. I mean, there's a lot of people on the planet that know why they're using the King James. And they're vocal about saying it because they know the other verses, just like the prophecy said, the defiled bread prophecy. It's all over the Old and New Testament. It was prophesied they would attack the Bible the way they have. I mean, this allows them, the people that are happy to use a Bible that has been proven by everybody that's bogus. I mean, this allows them to claim what they don't know won't hurt them, when in fact another prophet by the name of Hosea stated clearly that they are destroyed due to their lack of knowledge. And no, you don't go to hell because you cannot understand meaty verses. Because babes in Christ, you know, that's your lot right now. Because when you get older in the Lord, you'll get a little more meaty. But still, I don't care if you're a pastor. There's going to be verses you're just going to have to wrestle with. It's going to be hard to understand. And you have to pray in the Spirit and he'll reveal them to you. You know, but I'm not going to say you're going to wrestle the way the wicked do, because they wrestle with the scriptures constantly because they can't get it. They just can't get it at all. But there are difficult verses even for pastors in the church. I mean, you're only judged by the light that which you understand. But these Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 lukewarm Christian wannabes know those verses are missing, and they know what's right and they know what's wrong. But they choose to do the wrong anyway because their flesh agrees with it. I mean, how many of us have heard the excuse when we walk up to somebody that's holding an NIV or an NASB or any of the other bogus Bibles, as we like to call them, says, look, you know that Bible's bogus, right? He says, yeah, but it's easier to read than the King James. And it is, because it's today's language. But you're going to get yourself in it. It's just like going to a Sunday-keeping church on Sabbath, because there isn't any, well, or going to the Sunday-keeping church on Sunday, rather, because there isn't any other churches in your area, and you just crave fellowship. Eventually, you're going to be pulled away. Jesus said, don't go there. He literally said, don't go there. And there's people going to Sunday-keeping churches because they crave fellowship. And Jesus even said, touch not the unclean thing. And yet they're going in there anyway because they crave fellowship. Well, what's the difference between that and holding on to an NIV? Eventually, you're going to start thinking the way they think because you're using the NIV. By beholding, we become changed, right? So if you're reading the words of man as opposed to the word of God, you're going to follow after man's ideals and theology and doctrines. It's just common sense. It's just the way it's going to happen. I mean, their walk, when they do this, because they know it's more easy. I mean, and you could try this on the street too, and I've shared this before, because I've come across people that said the NIV is difficult to read. The King James is difficult to read, so that's why they read the NIV. And I say, and then, you know, the conversation changes. Let's say you wait 5-10 minutes, you keep talking back and forth, and you sneak in the subject of, say Shakespeare. You know, bring up Shakespeare. Somehow, some way, get it in the conversation and watch what the person that says they read the NIV says. 9 times out of 10, they say, "Oh yeah, I love Shakespeare. I love the way, you know, it's such poetic language and it flows so easily. It's a joy to read." And then you got them. They're trapped, because you just said 5-10 minutes ago that you don't read the King James because it's too difficult to read. But now you're saying that you love Shakespeare. The NIV was written in the exact same tongue, the Old English that Shakespeare wrote in, the exact same tongue. Because that's how they wrote in those days. And so it's just an excuse. The devil has it out there to people. They grasp the excuse without realizing the reality. I mean, they're self-deceived. I mean, their walks confirm. They choose rather to please the flesh rather than the creator of the flesh. So, and then the only reason they claim to be Christians is to try and take away their obvious shame, just like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 said. It's the likes of these that are found unworthy of salvation as they soil the image of Christ, and they corrupt the hearts of all those around them who assume they are the pinnacle of Christianity. I mean, guys like, Billy Graham, for example. I mean, everybody thought that he was, you know, the ultimate Christian. You know, especially during his heyday when he was out there proclaiming the Pope Antichrist. You know, people were hoarding around him like crazy. Now that he's got enough people underneath his tent, if you will, now he can safely say the Pope is a man of God, and he won't offend the majority of his people because they trust him so much. I mean, this is how weak-minded some of the Christians have become. I mean, for example, how is it Jimmy Swaggart's able to get a few thousand people into his church every Sunday? Because he's entertaining. Let's say he's a preacher-tainer. He's fun to listen to. The man's committed adultery 3 or 4 times already, you know, with hookers. But yet they keep coming to his church because for the same reason they read NIVs. You know, it's easier. It's not such a, you know, I don't want to rock any boats. It's easier. You know? I mean, just as the CEO reprimands the managers of his company for the lack of leadership and poor work ethics that have soiled his employee base by their disloyal actions, the Lord thy God also looks upon his church first. That's us. Because it is they who are called to emulate the honor and honor Jesus Christ. And you just look around, you could see all the preachers of filthy lucre, just like Jesus predicted, all the false prophets and all the false teachers. I mean, when the Christian who screams at a homosexual and calls him a fag, or spouts scriptures while calling a young girl a whore, or walks about drunk, or, you know, or does, you know, or steps into movie theaters, or teaches others to break God's law, he or she is simply judged unworthy of the Lord as they have proven he is not their Lord. Their flesh is their Lord. They can claim Jesus Christ as Lord all they want, but they obviously don't understand that term. When I understood it, this is why I took stock of myself 30-some-odd years ago when I was out in the woods and I just think, do I really believe this stuff? You know, because if I do, then that means the Bible is 100% correct. And whatever I see in that book, if I'm doing something wrong and that book says to knock it off, then I got to stop it. And if it's something that I've been doing for years and it's a bad habit, then I got to be very adamant about doing my best to break that habit, because we all know some stuff you can't stop just like that overnight. It's not the easiest. Some of the things aren't easy. Like cigarettes, for example. They're designed to be addicting. So don't look at your brothers and sisters in Christ that are actually trying to quit smoking, but yet they can't. Don't you be judging them, because you got situations that you can't break either. But there's a big difference between the Christian that claims Jesus Christ is Lord, but yet they dress like the. I mean, take the Christian rock and rollers, for example, the ones that you like. What is that girl that moans and groans like the secular singers? That sings for Jesus. I can't remember. I think she's a Mexican girl. She started really young. I think she was 12 or 13 when she was singing. She's out there using the same methods of singing as these bad girls do. And the same clothing, the same everything. Everything. The only difference is some of her lyrics talk about Jesus. Jesus isn't her Lord. Her flesh is. That's obvious. Now, yes, the Lord winks at our times of ignorance, and I hope and pray that that girl is very ignorant of a lot of stuff. Jackie Velasquez, that's the girl. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking about. But as such Christians as these, they cause more damage than any scoffer or any atheist or even a Satanist or the Pope himself can do. Reason being is they do their evil acts before all, claiming Jesus Christ as Lord, and this is why judgment must start in the church, because it is the church's duty to perform the Great Commission given them first on the day of our King, when he ascended back to his kingdom, so as to be to prepare for our victorious arrival into that kingdom when he comes and takes us home. And this is also why that girl, the diviner of spirits, had that demon cast out of her. She kept walking behind the apostles saying, listen to these men, they speak the oracles of God, right? And everybody gets all upset because you see the apostle casting the demon out of her. And this is why. How did he think? Why would he think there's a demon in her? She's talking, she's proclaiming the same truth. Yeah, but she's, you know, holding the truth in unrighteousness. It's just like a Christian rock and roll singer on a stage saying Jesus Christ is Lord, and then they start singing Satan's music. This girl's doing the same thing, which will destroy the faith of many, because, hey, if it's no big deal that this girl is communicating with demons to help be like play the part of a psychic for the businessmen in the city, at the same time she calls herself a Christian, because I know a lot of psychics, well, I don't know them now, but I remember when I was growing up, there was this kid I hung with. His mom was a psychic. She made money. And when you drove into the Catholic church that we used to go to, they had to switch the streets, because they made it one way on one street and one way on another street that entered into the church. It had a big parking lot, because if you came in this one street, you'd see her window where it says psychic greetings with a big neon sign. So they turned it around where you would pass her house. The only way you could see her window is if you looked in your rearview mirror. But this woman came to church every Sunday, and I knew all sorts of psychics out there that said that they were, you know, Christians. That destroys Christianity a lot more than any pope can do, because, well, that's how the pope works, actually, by the way. That's the same method he uses. He calls himself a Christian, but he's a Satanist. He's actually a devil worshiper. So, but the bottom line is this. Those of us that understand both prophecy and current events know the investigative judgment is taking place right now. Our Lord is measuring the temple and the Christians who claim to do the work therein. And he has to do the judgment before he returns, because otherwise how can he bring his reward with him? We need to always be conscious of the fact that even when you are walking the streets, minding your own business, or even doing the work of the Lord by passing out tracts, our Lord is measuring us. He also measures us when we are attending our household duties. Truth is, even in conversation, we are measured, because Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, Our God is measuring us right now in all that we say and do, down to each and every idle word, if it is recorded in the books of heaven. This work of measuring the temple is to see who will stand in the last day. I mean, we got an amazing future ahead of us to do a work for the Lord in the universe after we leave this planet, right? The Lord has to have the cream of the crop. He has to have. He's God. He's not going to have ambassadors on other planets that really aren't saying or really aren't proving He is their Lord. When you're, you know, a servant of the Lord, everything He says to do is how you plan to walk. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble when you go into other nations. Like, say, if you're an ambassador for America and you walk into Japan acting like an ambassador for the U.S., and you do things that soil the image of America. Well, everybody's doing that now, but you know what I mean. Because America is corrupt now. So all the ambassadors are doing all sorts of evil things now. But it didn't used to be that way when we were young as a nation. It's a lamb. When it was a lamb, now it's a dragon, as prophecy stated. I mean, those who stand fast in this truth that we claim and trust shall have a blessed entry into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He knows He can use you. He can trust you. And this is why some of us see these blessings that keep coming to us, to where we can do extra things for Him, because He knows He can trust us. You know, when we are doing our work or simply chatting with a friend, we need to remember that there is one that is watching the spirit in which we do what we're doing. As Christians, we are expected to glorify Jesus or bring Jesus into our everyday lives and even into our secular work and domestic duties so as to proclaim Him Lord. In fact, we can do this without saying a single word, because actions truly do speak louder than words. With that in mind, we must also always persevere to leave everything behind us that is not profitable to our Christian walks. We must always present ourselves as servants of the living God. I think we could do one more here. Question number 7. It says, who actually does the judging? In John chapter 5, verse 22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And for those of us that understand Scripture and the reference it shares regarding all of His creation, which includes the lives of all these, you know, of all the other worlds that are spread throughout the universe in numbers greater than all the sands of the seas of the earth, we know that this judgment that Christ performs on that day will not only be seen by those of us inside the city. It'll be, everybody's going to, you know, even the wicked that are going to fall on that day, when the fire comes from above and below. We know that something this monumental shall be seen by all those souls in the universe as well. Yes, the wicked look upon this day now as well as on the very day, you know, as being hateful and unfair, they think. But our Lord will still be honored to the highest degree, and there will be no lack of glory upon Him, because every soul in the universe that looks on will know they truly didn't want to be in heaven anyway. And this is one of the reasons I believe we're allowed to look into the books. Because, especially, I would think, now I don't know this for sure, I can't back it up with Scripture, but it makes sense to me that if we're doing the work of the judgment for those 1,000 years along with Jesus Christ, and the only reason we're taking part in the judgment is because He said we're going to reign with Him, and we emulate Him to the best of our abilities, and so we can be trusted to do this judgment with Him. And I wonder if we're going to have that 1,000 years to do the judgment, because we're going to have to look at our brothers and sisters or our moms and dads or our spouses or even our own kids that don't make it. Because we know what it says at the end of the 1,000 years, He wipes the tears away. Because we know how many times we tried to get to our kids or get to our siblings or get to our loved ones, let's say, and they keep blowing us off. And when you read the books of the judgment, you're going to see we're not the only ones that were doing it. The Lord was sending all sorts of people. It always reminds me of that gun, what that one guy that lived on Skid Row for 44 years. I mean, you do the math. That guy had to listen to a sermon morning, noon, and night at Pacific Garden Missions. He had to listen to a sermon morning, noon, and night before you can get a meal. And they were only 15, 20-minute sermons, yeah. So there's three sermons a day for 44 years. And this is not even counting the preacher wannabes, because like I was one of them. I would go up and, you know, after they hear a sermon, they, you know, go up there and start sharing Christ with some of these homeless guys. So now they're hearing it again. But yet he dies drunk in a gutter 44 years later. When his loved one reads his book, if they make it to heaven, they're going to see that, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ did everything he could to get to that person, just like the thief on the cross. The only way that thief on the cross was going to be able to understand who Jesus Christ was for him to hang on the cross next to him. Some of these trials we go through, and many of us realized this too before we became Christians, some of the trials that we went through was what got us to our knees. The Lord knows what, you know, he tries everything, but he knows what will move our hearts. And sometimes we ignore him. I mean, like those people that are going to burn at the end of the 1,000 years, they didn't want to go to heaven anyway. I mean, they chose death all on their own. And as Satan has always led his captives before, they're still going to blame others for their own bad decisions. We've been seeing this from day one. And look at the SDAs. They say that we started a new denomination. I says, wait a second. We never started a new denomination. Ours is the exact same. We hold the same exact truths, statement of faith, everything as the church had when it started. Now look at the statement of faith that you have right now and try to match it up with the early one. The SDA church actually started a new denomination within their church, but yet they're saying we did it. See, this is how the devil always works. He gets his people to do the bad acts and he blames. And look at the homosexuals. They're scared to death of our God. And so what do they call Christians that are lovingly trying to warn them of their sin? They call us homophobes. I mean, there's no getting around the fact that the law of God will be revealed in all its heart-changing truth and majesty to everyone. Even the wicked, whose destiny is upon them, will understand that day clearly, because all self-deception will be wiped away so as to see and understand clearly that they knowingly rebelled against the Lord and his love that was offered to them. And yes, they will finally realize they knew about this love, but their sin was so enticing that they lied to themselves so as to be able to continue in the sin that they cherished. In other words, Jesus wasn't their Lord. This is why you hear a lot of the weeping, is because a lot of the weeping, I believe, is from Christians that claim Jesus Christ as Lord, but their flesh really was. You know, like a cold chill of reality that splashes up and down the spinal column of one who just got caught in a lie. All those lost Christians will see that they slighted the law of God and trampled underfoot his proven love for their entire lifetime. It is on this planet where Jesus came to wash away those sins. Trillions of worlds will be watching as his love-filled act on Calvary will be brought forth as the ultimate gift of life to all those that did cherish his love and strived on to the perfection that makes him smile. Who could be a better judge than he who came from the heavenly courts to save man from eternal death? It was Jesus who offered his own life before the wicked earthly tribunal 2,000 years ago. It was he who snuffed out the graphically excruciating death on the cross that was not only designed to be torturous, but humiliating as well. He did this for every soul that was ever created. With that said, it is he alone that can pronounce the sentence of reward or punishment. Seeing how it is Jesus alone who died for all mankind, it is Jesus alone who can perform this executive act of judgment upon all those that denied him and what he did for them. All of us in the city on that day and all those looking on in the unfallen worlds will know that he who began this work 2,000 years ago can certainly complete the task on this very day as well. Hope and pray you're blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, and by the way, he actually started this work 6,000 years ago when he created the earth. He said then that he would die for us. So I guess you could say he actually finalized the work 2,000 years ago, spiritually. But physically, he ends it 1,000 years from now. Be back in a minute.